Gospel is from Matthew, now in the 25th verse, 25th chapter, excuse me, first verse. Jesus is speaking. And the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. The wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." While they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet. And the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." In our hearing, our speaking, our living, I know that Mary Oliver is a favorite poet for a number of you. She certainly is one of mine. One in particular that I love, that I've shared lines from off and on. And, you know, it's stewardship season, so why not a poem about death? This is her poem, "When Death Comes." When death comes like the hungry bear in autumn. When death comes and takes all the bright coins from his purse to buy me and snaps the purse shut. When death comes like the measles pox. When death comes like an iceberg between the shoulder blades. I want to step through the door full of curiosity, wondering, what is it going to be like, that cottage of darkness? And therefore, I look upon everything as a brotherhood and a sisterhood. And I look upon time as no more than an idea. And I consider eternity as another possibility. And I think of each life as a flower, as common as a field daisy and as singular. And each name a comfortable music in the mouth, tending as all music does towards silence. And each body a lion of courage and something precious to the earth. When it's over, I want to say all my life, I was a bride married to amazement. I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. When it's over, I don't want to wonder if I have made of my life something particular and real. I don't want to find myself sighing and frightened or full of argument. I don't want to end up simply having visited this world. We don't know if Joshua, the son of Nun, was a poet. We know he was a warrior, a fierce leader who brought the people of Israel into the promised land of Canaan after Moses died. His spiritual descendant, King David, was both a warrior and poet, but we don't know about Joshua. The people of Israel stood ready to settle into this promised land after centuries of living on a promise and wandering in the wilderness, fighting battle after battle. Finally, they would have more than they needed. This land would be their home, no longer wanderers. And it would be easy for them to get comfortable, easy for them to forget. So Joshua, now close to the end of his life, addresses the gathered people with these poetic words, "Choose this day." He tells them, you're free now to choose from an assortment of other gods. You are free. But as for me and my house, my family, we will serve the Lord. You can choose to serve other gods who will tell you what you want to hear, gods you can manipulate and control and bribe, gods who tell you who to hate and who to shun, or you can choose to love and serve this inscrutable, unpredictable God who found us when we were in bondage, set us free, loves us, and has brought us to this place. You have a choice. It was a life and death decision. A decision that would impact all their other decisions. It would determine not just which God they serve, but how they would love their neighbor, treat each other. They could be like the Canaanites who behaved horribly toward their own. They could choose to be like some of their ancestors who ignored the needs of others and suffered the consequences. They could choose not to choose. Just to quietly put their faith back on a shelf and take it out every once in a while and dust it off. Joshua knew there'd be days ahead when people would get weary of following. Days when the risks would seem too great. So he asked them to make this fundamental choice. He goads them. They immediately say, yes, of course we'll follow. And he says, no, no, you won't. No, don't say it unless you mean it. There'd be more days of choosing, Joshua knew. And he wanted more from them than just some nice sounding words. By the time Matthew wrote his gospel about 1,300 years later, people had indeed grown weary. In particular, people who had chosen to follow Jesus. People who had said yes to the good news. People who were anxious and discouraged that Jesus had not returned quickly like they hoped he would. And Matthew offers this strange parable. People had suffered persecution and loss. They didn't fit around so well into the culture anymore. And he tells this parable about waiting, a parable about staying faithful and engaged for the long haul, a parable about the dangers of running on empty with no reserves, needing to have enough oil to continue to be a light in the dark of night. About 2 weeks ago, I had coffee with a clergy colleague, someone who served a UCC church in this state back in the early 90s before she moved on to other places. We hadn't seen each other in over 20 years, neither of us had changed at all, of course. But she happened to be coming through town and she wanted to get together. So we did. For the past 6 years, she has been serving a congregation in England, just north of London. With a sad expression, she described her church as having no real interest in doing much of anything. They do some charity, but there's no real commitment there, she said. They are no doubt good people with good intentions, but what she described to me was a church that had stopped choosing. They're Christian out of social habit. And pretty comfortable as they are. And that's sad. It's not enough to choose once. We choose over and over again. The times we live in demand of us a choice that is both personal and communal. There are other gods calling to us all the time. The God of winning at all costs. The God of despair and cynicism. The God of never enough. The God of consumerism that says, just buy one more thing, especially this coming season. The God of might makes right. As a faith community, we offer each other the strength to reject the false gods, to remind one another not to allow other things or even people to have central place in our lives, not to give our power away where it should not belong. But what if it means more? What if choosing this day means not just rejecting something, but having the courage to say yes to something? One of the many things I treasure about this church is that we seem to get that. It's not just about knowing what you're against, it's what you're for. Choosing allegiance to God means choosing to promote and protect life for others, to worship, to do justice, to care for the poor and for the earth. Choosing to serve the still-speaking God means saying yes to building a house where love can dwell and all can safely live, as we will sing in a moment. To choose to follow again and again, I think, comes close to what Mary Oliver said so beautifully, so eloquently. It is to choose life itself, to choose to live it fully and boldly each moment, not to live in fear, not to shrink back from it. And when the way's hard and our feet are weary, there is oil for our lamp. Unlike those nasty bridesmaids, we share what we have with one another. The last few weeks we have, and again today, Lori, thank you, such powerful testimonies blessing us and to remind us that this church, this place, what we strive to do together with the grace of God makes a difference, changes lives. Starting with our own. This week I received a little award. Thank you to all of you who played a part and contributed and did what all you did and told lies on my behalf and all sorts of stuff. The NCCJ honor was humbling. It's our honor. It is our honor. It's what we do with the help of God together. For every time some of you, you tell me about this, I know you've heard it, some of you hear, why do you go to that church? Let me tell you, there are countless other times someone is saying, oh, you go to that church. Tell me more. We make a difference, and we are oil for each other. We have a stewardship time every year to focus our gratitude, to give thanks to God and the gift of one another, to renew our commitment to this ministry, to offer our time and our skills and our energy and our money so we can all sleep better about the budget. But really, it is all another way to say, this day, this year, I choose to follow God, to serve God. There was a saying popular many years ago, the tithing isn't God's way of raising money, it's God's way of raising children. I like that. Our church as a whole tithes at least every year. And whatever we give, whether it's some version of a tithe or something else, All of that is part and parcel of God raising up those who continue to choose to follow. Those who continue to hold up the light in the darkness. Next week, you will receive in the mail a letter from me and a pledge form. We invite you to bring it with you next Sunday. And everybody come. It's a wonderful time, a beautiful service, and a great lunch after. So please join us. And please do what you can. I return to Mary Oliver's poem, and I would offer an adaptation of the final lines. When it's over, we as a church, as a particular body of Christ, want to say all our life together, we were a bride married to amazement. We were the bridegroom taking the world into our arms. When it's over, we don't want to wonder if we've made of our faith something particular and real. We don't want to find ourselves sighing and frightened or full of argument. We don't want to end up simply having visited this world. And I would add, we want it to be abundantly clear that we chose this day and every day to be fully alive, to look fear and injustice in the face, to make the choice to give our heart and soul and mind and strength to the God who loves us and continues to love through us. Amen.